Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. Let's now turn to Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was a descendant from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to pay special attention to this first and second verse again. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so Paul has been divinely appointed by Jesus Christ to be an apostle, to be a missionary, and to accomplish this specific task given to him by God. He was born for this purpose, as the Scriptures make most plain. But not only was he appointed by God, but he proclaims a divine message as well. This good news is a continuation and fulfillment of God's work throughout the ages. And there's no such thing as blind faith. It is very evident here that this is something that was foretold in the Scriptures. It's very important in evangelism. Many times there's this idea from skeptics that we're trying to push blind faith upon them, but this is not the case. We're simply trying to turn people to the Word of God, to the historical truth that God has made plain throughout all generations. Our faith is firmly anchored in the person of God and his revelation throughout history in his word. Paul in Galatians tells us that this gospel message was proclaimed 430 years prior to the giving of the law. It was given to Abraham. And we also see from the garden, from the very beginning, we have the promise that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, and all the prophets, all those who spoke by the Holy Spirit, testify of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus affirms in the Gospel of John, that in fact all Scripture testifies of me. And so Paul's method in evangelism, this is very important, was to appeal to the Scriptures. And so this pattern is one that we are to adopt, and it is extremely liberating. It's not about me. It's not about my knowledge. It's not about my ability to win debates as much as it is my ability to get people to look at the Word of God, which is evidence, and it is proof of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And so let's now continue in verse 3. Concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. And I want us to just imagine if we were Jews, if we had an understanding of the Scriptures. This was our expectation, that we were longing for the King of Israel to arise. We were longing for the Son of David, the Messiah, to come. And can you imagine it as Paul proclaims that Jesus is the Son of David? that those who heard him, many of which their heart skipped a beat. And perhaps, can you imagine if you were a part of that party that cheered on as Jesus was crucified? Can you imagine now this mighty apostle coming who once was a famous Jew and now has been converted? Can you imagine him proclaiming in this man that he is the King of Israel? This is quite spectacular. And as we continue in verse 4, not only was he a descendant of David according to the flesh, we see that he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul has expressed the humanity of Christ. As he is a descendant of David, he now makes clear that Christ is in fact divine. He is the Son of God, and he was declared to be so through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is God's proof. This is God's sign to the entire world that the Jews were wrong, that the Father has received the sacrifice, and that Jesus has now been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Lord and Master due to his resurrection from the dead. Look now in verse 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so Paul speaks here of receiving from Jesus Christ, this Son of David and this resurrected King. He speaks of receiving grace and apostleship. And so the imagery here is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's ascended to be King of the universe, and as King, he now distributes gifts to men. He gives grace, and he gives apostleship to the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul paints this picture. He says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." And so Jesus is one who gives grace to each one of us according to our specific calling within the church. Verse 8, therefore it says, "When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." And then in verse 11, we get a specific list of what this looks like. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so Paul specifically mentions the gifts that he has received from the throne of King Jesus. He has received grace and apostleship. And so Paul pictures Christ distributing grace from the throne. That is, God's righteousness freely given to the unrighteous. The grace of God, this free gift to humanity, is unsearchable and abounding. There is no shortage in heaven. There is an abundance. It is fully sufficient for all of Paul's needs, and God's grace is fully sufficient for all of our needs. And it is accessible to those who approach the throne. This is the idea that we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The Hebrew author says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. This is the picture that Paul is painting for us this morning. There is a throne of grace which Christ is seated upon, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. And so with confidence, we can approach King Jesus in order that we might receive a multitude of grace for all of our needs. And secondly, Paul has received apostleship from Jesus Christ. It refers to the specific grace that was given to Paul based on his unique calling to be an apostle to the Gentile world. God has given varied grace to his church. That is, each one of us has been individually and uniquely created to perform a specific function for the glory of God and the benefit of the body of Christ. The text clearly suggests that God will supply in a sufficient manner for individuals based on their calling. This is whatever God has called you to do, He will give you the strength to accomplish it. And so Jesus has appointed Paul to be an apostle. And so it is implied that Paul is going to receive all the strength, all the power, all the ability from the throne of Christ that he needs in order to fulfill in every way to bring great honor and glory, to bear much fruit for Jesus Christ. This is quite wonderful if you consider this particular idea. Jesus has a unique calling for this congregation. We might look out and we might see the tremendous struggles and challenges. We might look out and see the great darkness of our society, but we understand that just as the Lord has called us, just as the Lord has placed a church here, it is His full intention not just to call us, but to prepare us and to train us and to empower us in every way that we might bear much fruit for the Lord. Think about Moses. Do you ever think that he considered his calling and looked at Egypt, and then he looked at the band of slaves that he was called to deliver? He was facing the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and God was calling him, a weak servant, in order to deliver these people from slavery. But just as the Lord called Moses to service, so he will empower him in order to carry out the salvation of that nation. You ever think that David, as he looked at Goliath and his power, do you ever think that he might have been amazed at how awesome God's power was that would give him the strength in order to take down this great Goliath? And in the same way, the Lord has called us to face giants and to face evil powers, and the Lord will give us the strength to take down these giants in the place in which He has put us in our generation. And so the King who has called us to work will give us all the power that we need to bear much fruit for Him. And so individually, as Christians, we are attacked in many ways. We face many temptations, many trials. You think about the difficulty of breaking the shackles of drug addiction that is so prevalent in this community. The temptations of alcohol, that different individuals have to bear a certain cross. The temptations of sexual immorality and greed, all of these different things that are obstacles, the Lord will give us sufficient grace in order to overcome all of these trials. And secondly, each Christian has such meaning and usefulness for which Jesus distributes gifts that you might advance his kingdom. Paul goes on to say to the Roman Christians that they are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This is quite amazing. I want us to consider this idea that Christians have been invited to belong, to become the choice possession of Jesus Christ. And consider this, what leader calls soldiers to defend his nation and does not provide them abundantly with every single thing that they need, with the correct clothing, with the correct footwear, with the correct weapons and shields and abundant food and training. And so just as we have been called to be a part of the army of the living God, so he has supplied us. He has showered us. He has lavished upon his people grace upon grace in order that we might be successful. Sometimes it's much easier for us to believe in God's saving power. We speak much about God's saving power, but many times it's harder for us to believe in God's keeping power, that the same power that saved us is that which will keep us and make us successful in the Christian life. God does not call someone and then leave them as orphans. And the Lord has not placed this Main Street Church of Christ at such a time as this. He has not put us here just to forget about us. And so the darkness of our culture and society, God has given us sufficient grace to stand against the darkness of our day, to stand against the Egypt of our time, to stand against the Goliath, and to be successful in the name of Jesus Christ and the abundant grace that we receive through him. And so Christ Church is fully equipped with every spiritual need, and we have gained full access by the blood of Christ that we may receive still more grace as we face unique trials from day to day. And so as it relates to belonging to Christ, consider this idea once again that we are Christ's possession. I can tell you right now that the Lord Jesus takes perfect care of his choice possession. His bride does not go without. Consider this, if a wife asks her husband for any need whatsoever, a husband who is in love with his wife, there is absolutely nothing that he will withhold from her if she asks him for a need. And in the same way as his church, when we come and we approach the throne and we ask for grace, he will provide everything that we need. And in the same way, consider that of a father. Even the most ungodly father, if a son comes to him and asks for food, will he not give him all that he needs? Jesus gives us this parable in Luke chapter 11, verse 11, to tell us something of the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. He says, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so the promise is for every spiritual blessing from heaven, if we ask as sons, as the bride of Christ, if we ask for those things, he will freely give us everything we need to go through the storms of life. And there's many people even here this morning who are going through terrible, fiery trials, who are under the attack of Satan. And God's promise is that He will give us all that we need. His grace is sufficient because we are sons of God. And so the children of the Lord do not go around begging for bread. We have a rich Father who gives us all that we need. Paul's message to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 was that he had enriched them with all spiritual blessings. And this is true of us as well. And so there's an idea that is put forward in Romans, the text, this idea of the obedience of faith. And so once again, as we read in verse 4, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among the nations. And so this is Paul's mission. This is what his missionary journeys are about. He is going to all nations in order to achieve the obedience of faith. And in the original language, these two words are joined together, this idea of obedience and faith. This is a point of very much a debate and confusion historically and even to this day. What is the relationship between faith and works? The theologian and reformer Martin Luther, he was very open about the fact that he hated the book of James. He did not like the book of James because he could not reconcile the teachings of without faith, works are dead. He could not reconcile this idea that James puts forward with his own understanding of faith that he read about in Romans. But we see here that biblically speaking, faith and obedience work together. And so this is a subject that we're going to be studying extensively. But imagine this simple example, and maybe this will help us to understand. Imagine you're in an airplane, and there's two passengers, and the pilot has brought a parachute, but the passenger has not, and the plane is going to crash. And the pilot says to the passenger, "I want you to have my parachute." And so there we have an image of grace. This is a free gift. How beautiful and how wonderful it is. And then faith comes in that the passenger believes that this parachute has the ability to save his life. And not only does he believe that it has the ability to save his life, but that faith expresses itself in action and in obedience and work, and he places that parachute upon him, and then he acts upon his faith in obedience, and then he steps out of the plane and he is saved. And in many ways, this helps us to describe the unity here, how these concepts, these biblical terms, work together. Saving faith is that which expresses itself in love and obedience. And this is something that we'll come back to as we study both of these concepts more extensively. And I want you to notice the progression of thought, which we read about in verse 5. And so Paul says that he has received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations. And so when we embrace the gospel in obedience and faith, look at the outcome. Look at the results of such an of a behavior. God is glorified. We do this for the sake of His name among all the nations. And so when we consider the work of the church in the world, it is not enough that we merely desire for the lost to be saved. I think about when Jesus in the Gospels, he looks out over the multitudes and he's stirred with compassion as he sees all of these helpless people who are like sheep without a shepherd. And so we must have this burning compassion for the lost as we see those who are like sheep without a shepherd. But at the same time, we are to have a greater desire that God's glory might advance in all the world. And this concept is beautifully put forward in Malachi chapter 1, in which we see the true heart of God. This is his desire to accomplish and further his glory in all the world. Malachi 1:11, we read the following: "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." And so at the forefront of missions, at the forefront of Paul's motivation to travel from Jerusalem all the way to Rome is this desire that the glory of God might be advanced even to the Roman regions. And so we look out at our lost community, and our hearts should yearn with compassion, the same compassion that was in Christ, yet still greater. We should have a desire that God's name might be glorified, that he might be worshiped as God. We should be zealous for his honor, that he might be glorified in our bodies. And so we ask ourselves this very important question to see if we have the same longings as Paul, and to see if we are in tune with what the Scripture teaches. Does it concern you that God is not worshipped as he ought to be in East Dallas, that there are many who still do not bow the knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ, many who have not received Jesus in obedience and faith? Does it concern you? Do you have a zeal to see God's glory go out from this place? Is it the burning desire of your heart to see more families in this community bow their knee to Jesus Christ and worship him and to praise him as he ought to be praised? We ask this question as well of ourselves: is Jesus Christ glorified in your own home? If others were to look at us, would they say that we serve the Lord in obedience and faith? Have we received the gospel in the same manner in which Paul has received it, with total acceptance and surrender? Individually, in the temple of our own heart, have we surrendered, and is Christ glorified in our body? This is Paul's desire, to advance the glory of God. And when we refuse the lordship of Jesus Christ, the opposite results. We bring dishonor to God. Life is full of many missed opportunities and many disappointments. And we talk to people all the time who struggle, who are eaten up with the missed opportunities and the remorse that they struggle throughout life. But there's nothing worse than refusing Jesus Christ the right to work through your body and the remorse of not allowing Christ to shine through you and to bring glory to those around you. And so Paul continues now in verse 7. He says, "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Let me read that once more. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. What an inspiring text. What a scripture to earnestly desire to live up to. When we surrender to Jesus Christ and honor Him and serve Him in biblical faith, I believe that this is the norm, that we would emanate His glory and His fame to the entire world. How incredible it is that this church in Rome, based on their Christian obedience and their faith and their service, the report has gone out to the entire world of what God was doing in their midst. And so God's glory is advanced. And so God wants to do this in our congregation. This is what the Lord wants to do in your life personally. And this is the idea that Peter states in 1 Peter when he describes the idea that we are like shining stars in a dark world. That is, we reflect God's glory in such a way that the world understands and gives much praise to our Heavenly Father. And so I want you to consider also that there's no such thing as a Christian that receives Christ that does not bring glory to God. Therefore, if God's glory is lacking, it is because there is an absence of the obedience of faith that we have talked about earlier. No Christian ever failed that trusted and obeyed. These are the ones through which the glory of God shines forth into the darkness of the world. And so this morning, are you willing to be like these Roman Christians? Are you willing to receive the gospel as it is put out in the New Testament, this pure gospel? If we do this, we have the promise that our reputation and the things that God is doing in our midst will shine forth not only to this community, but even the promise is that in as far as the entire world might see what we're doing. It's like this. We plant small seeds. Faith is very much like planting seeds. Sometimes we get discouraged when we obey God in small things. But God can use that faith and that obedience to do extremely large, wonderful things. And so this morning, the gospel is clear. We've heard it this morning from Paul that Jesus is a descendant of David. He is king, that he was raised again on the third day, and all these things are in accordance with the scriptures, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And we are commanded to bow the knee to this king, to be baptized, to have our sins washed away, to receive forgiveness of sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then to rise out of the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. If this is your desire, I would appeal to you to come forward this morning. If you have any other prayers, if you would like prayer for restoration, I would also appeal to you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true.
You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Thank you.
beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.